Well, good morning, everyone.
Well, I don't live in Vancouver, but I'm very happy that I'm here this week, and it's good to see each one of you here. Good to see some new ones here this morning, and we hope to have a wonderful, wonderful time. Now, how many, can anybody, how many have said two verses today? That's what I want to know. Oh, two verses. Look at Harold, that's pretty good. There's more than that. Oh, here, we have some here, yeah. I knew there was more than that. Look at that, Harold. Two verses.
Elias said in chapter 18, verses 21 and 39.
Okay.
Does that count?
Oh, no, okay. How many said three verses today? The verse of Monday, which is two verses, and then the verse for today is three verses. And we are real, this is like real school here, Harold.
Oh, yeah.
We just study, memorize, recite. Very good. Very good. Good to have you do that. Today, it's like a day off. It's a very short verse. It's a little easier verse. And it's Isaiah 45. Let's see what Faith did. Yeah, that's correct. 45, not 42. Somehow got 42 snuck in to, it's an autocorrect kind of thing. The 42, the 22, it just made it 42. So very good. Let's say this verse together. And so say with me, look to me. Let's start again. I'll say it first and then we'll. Look to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. Now let me just stop for a minute. What do you think this means, all you ends of the earth? What does that mean? It means all the world. It's a different way of saying it. It means everyone in the world. No matter what country you come from, whether your family comes from the Gilbert Islands in the South Pacific or some other place like Tampa, Florida, or wherever it is, no matter where you come from, the gospel saves wherever you're from, whatever your background is, wherever your family came from. Now, you see me wearing this Canadian hat? The reason I wear the Canadian hat is because my mother was Canadian. My grandfather and grandmother were Canadian. Most of my uncles, Canadian. So I have, when I come to Canada, I have a little affinity. So my father was from Scotland. My mother was from Canada. Father, first one born in the United States. So wherever you're from, doesn't matter where you're from, all the ends of the earth, be saved. Look to me and be saved. So let's say it again. Look to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. Isaiah 45, 22. So let's say it together now, all at one time. Ready? Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. Isaiah 45, 22. Okay. Very, very good. Now, we're going to pop a balloon. Yesterday, I had a hard time getting volunteers. But I think you got warmed up from yesterday, so we'll get some volunteers. How about this front row? Anyone from the front row would like to pop the balloon? These girls on the side, they didn't want to do it, but I think they're probably going to warm up. How about over here? Anybody want to pop the balloon? No? No? How about you? Nobody on the front row. We've got seven possible volunteers. I can pick. No, I won't do that. How about the second row? How about the second row? Oh, okay, we got a volunteer. Okay, that's what I want. Samuel. Okay, just a reference. That's not. Okay, good. Okay, let's say it together. Everyone say it together. This side, the back part, the front part. Let's say it all together. Ready? Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none other. 45:22. Very good. I think we can say it louder. Let's say it a little bit louder. More conviction. More passion. Ready? Let's say it again. Ready?
Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth.
I am God, and there is no other. Isaiah 45, 26. Okay, let's have another volunteer. Who wants to pop another balloon? Another, oh, we got a hand in the back. Come on up. All the volunteers are in the back, Harold.
Good.
Doesn't matter. Who is this young lady? Let's see. This is Grace. Wonderful. That's my mother's name, so that's... Okay, thank you, Grace. Okay, let's say it all together. Let's say this loud. Ready? Look to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Now let me ask you a question. Who is the true God? I am God. Who is that? Who's speaking? I am God and there is no other. Who is that? Anybody know? Who is that? It's the God of the Bible. That's Jehovah. That's the triune God of the Bible. He is Lord. And Jesus Christ, he is God. Okay. Did we pop it?
We need another volunteer.
Okay, another volunteer. I think we get one in the first three rows. I think we could find one at least in the first three rows. How about over? Did you pop it already? Not you. Thank you.
Yeah, he did
it
once.
Okay.
Samuel just did it.
Samuel just did. That's right.
How about Lucas?
How about Lucas? Lucas says, "Yeah, I can do that. I can do that." Yes.
Oops. Sorry. Very good.
Very good. Okay, look to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Isaiah 45, 22. Okay, very good. Another volunteer, front or back, this side. We don't have any on this side. Any young people, I don't think. How about over here? Anyone? I really want to get one of these. Oh, okay. Daisy recited two verses this morning. I think she did. Way to go. Okay. Let's say it again, nice and loud and clear. Look to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Now, I want to tell a little story. Just take a little break from this and tell a little story about this verse. So there was a young boy. I think he was 14. His name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This was in the 1800s. God was speaking to him, and one morning he wanted to go to church somewhere. So he went outside, and there was snow piled, high snow piled everywhere. And the church he wanted to go to, it was a little further away, and it was a lot of work to go through the snow. So he saw a church nearby, a small church. Very small church, and he got out of the snow, went into the church, and Charles Spurgeon was sort of he really wanted to be a Christian. He was under conviction. He knew that he had committed sins, and he wanted forgiveness. So he goes into the church, and there was only about 10 people there. Even the pastor didn't show up. So one of the deacons went up, and he read this verse. He read this verse, and he looked down at this young man, Charles, and he said, "Charles, you look miserable. You look very miserable. I don't know what's going on in your life, but you look miserable." And then he said about this verse, he said, "Everyone in the room, and you, Charles Spurgeon, look to the Lord and be saved." He says, no matter if you're a college professor, doesn't matter if you're learned, doesn't matter if you have many degrees behind your name, look to the Lord and be saved. It doesn't matter if you have no education at all, doesn't matter what background you come from, doesn't matter what your occupation is, look to the Lord and be saved. Doesn't matter what country you came from, doesn't matter where you're from, look to the Lord and be saved. And that day, C.H. Spurgeon was saved based upon this verse. Maybe today you could be saved based upon this verse. It says one thing, look to the Lord and be saved. Let's say it again. Look to me, be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. Isaiah 45:22. Okay, another volunteer. Another volunteer. Who wants to be a volunteer? Does he says you want to be a volunteer.
We know you want to be a volunteer.
You get to pop too.
That's it. That's it. Now, you can do two of them. You can do two of them. Because our time, I told that story, time is slipping away. Okay, let's say it again. Look to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. Isaiah 45:22. Okay, one more volunteer. We'll pop both of the verse, both of the balloons. Okay, very good. By the end of the week, we'll have all these girls pop up. Mia, very good. Okay, very good. Now, this is an easy verse. That's about a third as long as the one that was yesterday. Okay, yesterday we had balloons here, balloons here, balloons here, balloons here, balloons here. Okay, let's say it together, nice and loud and clear. Look to me. Very good, very good, very good. Now, anybody want to stand up and recite that? Anybody? Adult, young one, whoever. Okay, that's fine. Okay, it's what age is it?
Four
through seven, upstairs with Faith. And four to seven upstairs with Faith. Now, you have a Bible? If you have a Bible, take it out. And we're going to turn to a New Testament book of John. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And in John chapter 4, the Lord comes with his disciples to a place called Sychar. To the well at Sychar. Where Jacob... Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob, it is said, built this well. And he tells his disciples to go and buy food in town. And he stays and he sits on the well. Now, you know, the Lord had a very important purpose for doing this. And a very important purpose for sending his disciples, not just to get food, that was one thing. But he had a very specific purpose. And the purpose was to meet someone. He wanted to meet someone, have a conversation with someone, and he wanted to arrange a situation where he can talk to a person and talk to them about their eternal soul and talk to them about how they can have the forgiveness of sins and how they can have their life transformed and how God can give them a home in heaven. And so all the disciples left. No one else was there. And he waited. Now, the disciples were traveling. This is a picture. The disciples were traveling. The normal way to travel from Galilee down to Jerusalem is that white line. See that white line? Now, what can you see from the white line? Whenever a Jewish person was traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem, they avoided, they went outside, almost entirely outside of Samaria. He didn't like the Samaritans. They thought the Samaritans were people that they didn't want to have anything to do with. But this day, what did Jesus do? Now Jesus, you can't really see it too well. Let's see if, I think I have a... Jesus goes right through the middle of Samaria. See, right in the middle where it says Sychar, Jacob's Well. He goes straight through the middle. He doesn't go around. He goes straight through the middle and he goes there with his disciples and he waits. Because he's going to meet someone. You know, maybe today the Lord wants to meet with you. You know, in each one of our lives, the Lord comes into our lives. And sometimes, in my case, he kept on coming. He came, and he came again, and he came again, and he came again. Someone, I would meet someone at school, I would meet somewhere, wherever it was, and they would tell me about how I should become a Christian, and how I should acknowledge my sins, and how I should believe in the Lord Jesus. And I would say, maybe no, I would say, I wasn't interested. And then my parents would send me to Bible camp, and we'd go there, and I would hear again the gospel message. Then I would go to another meeting, or I'd meet someone else. I would hear over and over and over and over again. And you know what I did? I said, no, 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 over and over again. I remember very specifically, this was 50 years ago. I know we don't look that old, but it's actually 50 years ago. I was young. And some people came knocking on our door, Christians, and they said, we would like to project a movie, no DVDs. I had to have a little projector. Project a movie on the wall, take a picture down on the wall, and we would go over the entire neighborhood and invite as many people as would come to your living room. And we'll show this gospel film to all your neighbors. Now, most people said no, but my parents said yes. They said, amen. Let's do it. Let's do it. So they scattered everywhere. And we had a living room full of people, maybe 50 people in the living room. After it was over, they started talking to everyone. And they came up to me. They didn't realize I lived in that house. You know, I thought all the ones that lived in the house, they were exempt. They wouldn't talk to them. It's all the ones from outside. But I remember they came to me and they said, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? And I said, no. I remember over and over again, the Lord wanted to meet this person. Today, the Lord might want to meet you. The Lord is coming to speak to you this morning. Bring the gospel. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus. Maybe you do. But if you're here this morning and you don't know him, he's coming to speak to you. And I don't want you to be the way I was. I want you to receive that message. Believe that message. Have your sins forgiven. Not to be like Harold said in South Africa or even here in British Columbia. Have a bullet fly through the air on a golf course. You don't know what would happen. But today, maybe the Lord is trying to speak to you. So, there he is, and this woman comes. She comes to get some water. Just no one else is there. No one else is there. Comes to speak to this woman. We don't know her name. The Bible calls her the woman at the well. He comes to speak to her, and she's a Samaritan. And Jewish people usually don't have anything to do with Samaritans. And so he begins to speak to her. And the first thing that he talks to her about, what do you think the first thing he talks to her about? Any idea? First thing is he begins to talk to her. One of the first things, well, he says, give me water to drink. But after he does that, He talks to her about her sin. He talks to her about what's wrong in her life. He says, go bring your husband to me. And she says, I don't have a husband. And the Lord begins to speak to her about her sin. You know, that's the first thing the Lord wants to speak to us about. I want to look at two verses with you. Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. Two verses. This is from the book of Romans. Two verses. You know, when the Lord wants to speak to us, he's got to bring bad news before he brings good news. And the bad news, as he speaks to the woman at the well, is her sin. And there's one thing that'll keep you out of heaven, your sin. God can't have those whose sins are not forgiven in heaven. And so he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's me. That's you. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. He says here in the next verse, the wages. See, we have piled up a whole bunch of wages of sin. A long list of sins. And he says the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. But he says there's good news. Look at the good news. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He begins to talk to her about her sin. And how he can provide forgiveness. And how she could have eternal life. And that old life she was living, she wouldn't have to live that way anymore. And she thought this was fantastic news. She thought this was the best thing she ever heard. And she, on that day, she believes on the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to think a little bit about sin. Now, these pictures are pictures of kind of kids that are a little younger, the ones that are up there. But I don't want to look at them. The first picture, there's a boy. I'm not really sure what happened, but he did something wrong in the left corner. He did something wrong. He knows he did it wrong. And his mother is correcting him, telling him, you did something wrong. She's really kind of, she's like taking her arm and she's really kind of telling him what she did wrong. Now, how about that one on the far corner? A boy with the overalls on. What do you think he's doing? Who knows? What is he doing? He's taking money from a purse, a wallet. It looks like a United States currency. He's young. He's 5 or 6 or 7 years old. He's stealing money. He's stealing, he didn't earn that money. He's stealing money. Maybe from his mother or father or someone else. How about the person there at the bottom? I don't know if you've ever done that. Your mother tells you to do something and you say, no, 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 no. Disobedient to his parents. What about that guy in the far corner? I don't know what's wrong there, but he's just really angry about something. He's got a really bad temper. He's just, somebody told him to do something, to go pick up the toys in his room. I'm not sure what it was. He's really angry. The mean sister cutting his hair. Brothers and sisters fighting. The mean brother taping his sister to the wall. I don't know if this has ever happened. I've never done that. Bad attitude. That's all sin. That all needs to be forgiven. All of that. And many, many other types of things. I just put a few pictures. Many, many other kinds of things. Now we want to go back. We want to go back in our Bible to the early part of Genesis. To the Garden of Eden. We want to go back there. In This is where the first sin took place. Now, think about the Garden of Eden. It's a perfect place. It's a place where there was no sin. There was a place where there was no other people to lead them into sin. Everything was provided for them. Yet they sinned. Now, let me think about this a little bit. Here's this perfect environment. We don't know what it was like, but a perfect environment. Food enough. But then Satan comes. And he begins to tempt Eve to sin. Now, what is the first thing? If you have your Bibles, you can look at this verse. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now the serpent, or the devil, was more crafty than any other animals he made. He says to the woman, so this is Satan speaking to the woman through this serpent. One of the first things that led her to sin, and maybe one of the first things will lead you to sin, is not to believe this book. What's the first thing Satan wants to do is not to believe God's word. You know, we only have three times in the Bible where Satan speaks. Well, that's recorded that he speaks. Here, with Job. With Job, he says to the Lord, he says, if you allow him certain things to happen to him, he will curse you. He's trying to break that bond between the believer. And then in the New Testament, Satan comes and tempts the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus did not to do what the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ was. If you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. If you're the Son of God, cast yourself from the pinnacle of the temple. But here, he says, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? Did God really say that? Is that really what his word is? He wants you to doubt it. He wants to doubt that sin is very important. He wants you to think it's not very important. In this passage, in verse 4 of chapter 3, verse 4 of chapter 3, we have, he says, God said, the day you eat of the fruit, you will surely die. And the serpent says to him, he says, you will not certainly die. He contradicts God, and he says, there are no consequences. And then he says, did God really say you can't eat of any tree? Now he lies. God said you could eat of every tree in the garden but one. And so she takes the fruit. And Adam takes the fruit. And they sin. And they're cast out of the garden. A perfect environment. But they disobeyed God. And then they were judged. You know, there's a great, great lesson for us. When we sin, there are consequences. God's not going to say, just come on into heaven, even though you've sinned, even though you've never come to faith in Christ. Just come on to heaven. There's no consequences. There's no judgment. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there's consequences to sin. The wages of sin is death. Somebody has to pay for sin. If you commit a crime, and you're caught for that crime, and you're brought before a judge, there's consequences. Either small consequences or great consequences, but there's consequences for what you do. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the only way to have those sins forgiven is to come by faith and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go back to our passage. So the Lord is talking to this woman, and he talks to her about her sins, but he talks to her about forgiveness of sins and how she should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, she had a long list of sins. And God, Christ says to her, the Lord Jesus Christ says to her, your sins can be forgiven. And right in that conversation, she believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what she does? She runs back to her village. She runs back to where she lived. She goes and she talks to everyone in the village. And she says this, I met a man who told me everything that I had done. And then he had forgiven her of all of that. And I think we don't know everything she said, but I think she said this to all those people in her village, you should believe on him too. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will forgive you of all of your sins. And so the Lord Jesus comes to the village and he begins to talk to the people about their sin. Now, I'll tell you a story about my life when I was about your age. When I was about your age, we had, I don't know if you have it here, we have ice cream trucks where they would have these little bells and they would go around the town and you could hear them coming. And then back when I was young, if you had 25 cents, I don't know what how we could transfer that into a Canadian currency. 25 cents. It was a pretty small amount. And I went to my mother. It was about 4 o'clock. My mother was making dinner. So I went to her and I said, can I have a quarter to go buy some ice cream? She said, no, David, it's too close to dinner time. Did your mother ever say that? Too close to dinner time, you can't have that ice cream. But I wanted it. I wanted the ice cream. Here's what I did. Went upstairs to my parents' bedroom. And on the dresser of my father's dresser, there looked to me as a boy of about 8 years old, there looked to me to be like a pile of coins. It looked like just a pile of them. 30 or 40, probably wasn't that many, but it looked to me to be a large amount. So you know what I did? I took one. I took a quarter. You ever steal from your parents? So I took a quarter. And I ran out the back door. And I ran to the ice cream truck and I got my ice cream. And I remember I ate it right by the ice cream truck. I got a napkin from the ice cream truck and I wiped all the chocolate and vanilla off my lips. I was happy. I got what I wanted. I knew I disobeyed my parents, my mother. I know I stole from my father. But I still was happy because I got what I wanted. Went back into my home, into my house. And at 5:30, a little after, between 5 and 5:30, my father would come home. So my father came home. I had an older sister. I had a younger sister. My father came home, he went up and changed his clothes, and he came down, and here's what he said. He says, someone took a quarter from a dresser. That was like a knife in my, as a little boy. And he said, I want my older sister, Beth, and me, David, and my youngest sister, Becky, we're all to sit on the couch. So we all sat there. My father was 6 foot, he's taller than I am, about 6 foot four. He's really a very big guy. And he looked down at us, and he said to my sister Beth, the oldest sister, she was about 10 years old, said, "Beth, did you take the quarter?" She said, "No, Daddy, I didn't take it." Then he came to me, and he said, "David," he looked down, and I looked right in his eyes, right in his face, "did you take the quarter?" And I said, "No. No, Daddy, I didn't take the quarter." Now, before he began this conversation, he said this. He said, "There's two things that I never want my children to do. I never want them to steal from me, and I never want them to lie to me." Well, I stole already, and I'm about to lie to him. Went to my youngest sister, Becky. She was about five or six. Said, "Did you take the quarter?" And she said, "No." She started crying. So he looked at us all, and he said to Beth, he said, "Beth, I want you to come upstairs with me." And she was going to get punished. Now, back in those days, I don't know how your parents punish you today. And I'm not advocating this, but my father would punish us with a belt. We'd take his belt, and he would hit us with the belt. So he was serious. It was a serious situation. 6'5" man hitting you with a belt on your rear end. So he said to Beth, "You come upstairs." Now, I knew what was going to happen. He goes upstairs, and she receives a punishment for what I had done. You know, that's a picture, I think it's a picture of the gospel. It's a picture of the gospel. You have sinned, the woman at the well sinned, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We all have sinned, but someone paid the penalty for your sins. Someone paid it for you. It didn't deserve, the Lord Jesus didn't deserve to be punished for your sins, but he willingly went to the cross to take your sins. He has taken your sins, and then he offers the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the offer of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord Jesus paid the penalty for your sins. Now, I want to repeat what I mentioned yesterday, the ABCs of the gospel. To admit something I didn't do with my father and my sister, admit that you have sinned. You come to God in prayer and say, "Lord, I have sinned. I'm guilty. I've sinned. All you've said about me is true. I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I know that my sins separate me from God. I know my sins send me to a lost eternity in hell." Number A, we admit our sins before God. Number two, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who went to the cross and paid the penalty, took the punishment, took the judgment that should have been yours. Someone has to pay for sin. Go to court, someone has to pay. And the Lord Jesus Christ paid it. You don't have to pay it if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the C is confession. You come to the Lord Jesus and you say, I want you to be my Savior. I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge that you believe on me. But you have to do the third thing. And the third thing is to come to him and say, I want you to be my Savior. I want to take that step of faith and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. You have to enter in. You have to take that step of faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a work, but it's an exercise of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't believe just the first two. You have to believe the third one. You have to do the third one. You come by prayer and say, "Lord, I take this step of faith. I believe on you. And I want you to take my sins. I want you to remove them as far as the east is from the west. So far, I want you to remove my sins from me. If you've never taken that step of faith, if you've never done those A, B, C, admit, believe, and confess, and taken a step before God, have prayed before him, acknowledge your sins before him, do that today. If you come with a friend, an older person, say to that older person, I want to be a Christian today. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be like this woman who comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's close in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you. We thank you that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who knew no sin, he became sin for us that we might be the righteousness of God in him. We thank you that he bore our sin. He didn't deserve it, but he willingly took our sins that we could be forgiven. Someone had to pay for our sins. Someone had to suffer the punishment, the consequences for our sin. And the Lord Jesus did that for us. And we pray, Father, if there's anyone here in this room that hasn't ever trusted Christ as your Savior, never taken that step of faith, I pray that they would today. It might be an older person. It might be a young person. Maybe someone upstairs with faith. They would take that step of faith today. So, Father, we pray these things and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So, David, we're thankful that you were able to tell us those stories. Our prayer is that we will all say, yes, I admit, I'm a sinner. I believe that the Lord Jesus died for me and I choose him and I want to confess it. So, we're just going to wait a moment while the other two can join us. If you can put, there's Trevor. Trevor, you come on along, please. We're happy to see you today. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm just going to get set up right now.
There you go. Okay, Trevor, go ahead.
Hello, everyone. It's nice for you to be with us today. We're going to do another gospel illustration this morning. And we're going to use just a normal deck of cards. And this is just 52 cards, and there's hearts and diamonds and clubs and spades. And this is called Jesus Knows. Now, I have my two, I'm going to call them my nieces here because I just found out yesterday they were related to me. I'm very excited to be able to work with somebody I'm related to. But we're going to do this illusion. I'm going to ask Claire to cut it in half, the deck, so that it's, you know that I haven't set it up. And we're going to make five piles. One, two, three, four, five. Now, Claire, are there any cards you would like to switch?
No.
Are you sure? Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make them add up to king. So it goes ace, two, three, four, five, six, seven, until we get to king. Well, we have three kings already. So you don't want to switch a king out?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we're just going to, those ones are already kings. Eight, nine, ten, jack, queen, king. Ten, jack, queen, king. Now I'm going to ask Claire to choose two groups that she doesn't want anymore. She's going to choose these two. Now, what is this illusion called again? Jesus Knows. So I'm going to spell Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. Knows. K-N-O-W-S. Jesus Knows. And now I'm going to ask Claire to flip the top card of two of the piles. So a king is worth 13, And an 8 is worth 8, so what's 8 plus 13? 21, maybe? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. So now I have some cards left over. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, Jack, Queen, King. This card should be a king. Can you turn it over, please? It's a king. And Jesus knows. Jesus knows you, and he loves you, because the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus knows of zero other ways to get to heaven, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes to the Father except through me. And you know what else Jesus knows? Jesus knows that today is the best day ever to be saved. Because the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow. Jesus knows of no better time to be saved than right now where you're seated. May the Lord richly bless you all.
Thank you, Trevor. I've got a question for everyone in the audience. I want you to raise your hand if you could do that. Okay, so we don't know how he did it. That doesn't matter. What does matter is we know that Jesus knows. I don't know how to give you that. An illustration of that. But there was a great man of God who was here in Vancouver many years ago. His name was David Gooding. And he was a student at university. He was studying a very, very hard language. Some of you have tried to learn a new language. He was studying Sanskrit. Sanskrit is such a hard language that if you don't learn it when you're very young, you'll never learn it. Anyway, he was studying Sanskrit. And somebody came to him and said, we're going to have some special meetings at the chapel. You're going to organize it, and you can. He said, I can't do that. He said, I've got to study at university. I'm going to have a hard exam. I've got to study at university. I can't do that. They said, listen, you pray. God will help you, and you lead the meetings. So instead of studying every night, he went to the chapel every night, and they preached the gospel every night. But the exam was coming up at 1 o'clock the next day. And he prayed. And he said, Lord, I haven't had a chance to study as much as I would like. Would you please help me? And so he grabbed his sandwich, and he opened his little piece of his book, and he saw one paragraph in Sanskrit. And there's Sanskrit here, English there. And so he read this, and he read the English, and he went back and forth over all those words, and he ate his sandwich. And then he went into the exam at 1 o'clock, and he opened it up. And what do you think was on the exam? That particular paragraph with the instructions, please translate this paragraph. Okay, and they said, you are really smart. Was he really smart? Yeah. What was the smartest thing he did? He said, I'm going to follow Jesus. He knows. He even knows what's going to be on the exam. Hallelujah. We're going to go to have a snack outside. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for snacks. And thanks for all the other things you give to us. We're so thankful that Jesus loves us. We're thankful that Jesus knows. Lord, would you come into our heart and life, please? You know all about us. You know that we're like that woman at the well. We're sinners. You know, Lord, that we need a Savior. Would you please cause us to agree with you? and accept you as our Savior. Lord, we want to make sure, because if we got hit by a bullet, we'd like to go to heaven, Lord. We ask this now in Jesus' name. We give thanks for this food. Amen. All right, the...